Okay, so to Daf Chaf 20a, the Mishnah towards the top. Ad shlo nimchut ha-megillah amra eini shosa. If by the time, before the time that the Megillah is erased, she says, I'm not going to drink, right? At that point, we're not going to force her. U-megillasa nignezes. She can go back on it and put the Megillah away, meaning they don't dissolve it, meaning it becomes like shameless. U-minchasa mitzpazeres al hadeshen. And the mincha is just, this scattered. Literally means scattered. But I have a footnote that says it's burned.
Yeah, burned in.
In the deshen. The deshen is sort of the leftover burn pile. You just get rid of everything from the day before. V'ein megillas l'ksher l'hashkus basot acheres. You can't use that megillah for somebody else. But we haven't said what actually does happen to her.
What?
Like she says, I'm not going to drink, and then what?
She gets divorced.
Is that what we're saying?
Or
he hasn't said anything.
Maybe that will come later.
I mean, it does seem,
as opposed to most Gemaras, This seems to at least be following some
procedural order.
We talked earlier about if she refuses.
Did we say that?
Well, we talked about it, I think, in the Gemara, not yet in the Mishnah. I don't think there's been a Mishnah.
Oh, we talked about she refuses.
We talked about her getting a tshuva and stuff. Yeah, we talked about that. I don't remember.
Whether there was a mission there or not.
Yeah, I think it may have been in a Gemara.
All right, let's see. Could be one of the things that are just self-evident, but we'll see. Nimchacha Megillah v'amran b'tzmei ani. If the Megillah was already erased and dissolved in the water, and then she says, actually, yeah, I did it. So then, hamayim nishpachin, we pour out the water, meaning we don't do that to her. U'minchas mitpazeres al beit hadeshen. And the mincha again is burned in the deshen. Nimchaga Megillah v'amra eini shosa, however, this should be what we said last time, that if the Megillah was already erased, and then she says, I'm not going to drink it, but she doesn't admit that she committed the act, so then ma'ar arinosa, I don't know how that word ma'ar arinosa is translated, but it means that we keep her mouth open, and then umashkinosa
v'agarfa. All it says here is we force the waters upon her.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the word ma'ar typically means like, usually means like spread rumors about or to bother or something. Okay.
Because here she's forced to drink against her.
Forced, yeah. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Enam aspekas lishtos ashipanam orikos. She doesn't have enough time. Or by the time she's trying to drink.
When a guilty woman drinks.
Right. And her face turns green, meaning that clearly she, I don't know if she's blushing or she's...
Very weird that this is all together. You would think this part right here
part up.
Would be in a separate Mishnah.
I hear that. Right, because until now we're talking about the woman that doesn't want to do anything, and now we're talking about the woman that's trying to do something. V'eineha boltos, and her eyes are bulging out. V'hi mitzmales gidin, and her...
Veins.
Are getting full?
Protruding,
okay. V'heim omrim hoti'uha shalot etame ha'azara. Get her out here before she explodes. And, well, literally makes the azara tame. Okay. What does it mean, inam aspika lishtos?
She doesn't manage to finish drinking.
So even the little bit that she drank is already affecting her that much?
That's what it says, although the note here says from the Talmud Yerushalmi says,
yeah,
this is an exaggeration as the water does not affect her until she drinks the entire amount.
Right.
The phrase is used to emphasize that the effect of the water occurs immediately.
It is interesting. Last week we had a teiku, if you remember, which was, what if she drinks some of it and the rest of it was spilled out? We asked that question. It was a teiku. I don't know. So why didn't it bring this Mishnah? This would have been an easy response to that question.
It would have been an easy response.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. V'heim lo refine. Im yesh l'schus ha'yesh atolala. I think there's some famous Gemara coming up. If she has some kind of merit, we talked about this at the beginning of the text a couple weeks ago, and here it comes back again. If she has some kind of merit, so then it will benefit her that she won't die right away. Yesh ches tol shana achas. Yesh ches tol shnei shanim. Yesh ches tol shalosh shanim. If I remember correctly, this was only according to one opinion. That only one opinion. There's only one that person that says that it could be beneficial for her like this. But okay, either way, it's depending on how much merit she has, commensurate with her experience, commensurate with her merit. That's how long it might delay the inevitable. 2 years from now, she might blow up with, "Hey, what was that? Oh, she must have really been guilty, and she was just a good person." I don't know. Mikan Omer ben Azai. And this is where things get fun. From here, Ben Azai says, remember Ben Azai is the person that said back in Ksubis that he didn't want to have children. He didn't want to get married because he wanted to instead learn Torah full time. So says, Mikan Omer ben Azai, Chayav Adam Lamed is Bito Torah Shim Tishta Teda Shazchot Tolola. That a person should always, a person is obligated, let's be specific here, a person is obligated to teach his daughter Torah so that if she drinks, you'll know that the zchus is going to help her. Now, it sounds a little lolishma, but I think it goes beyond just sosa situations, but that's Ben Azai says in the context of sosa. Rabbi Eliezer Omar Komlan Visa Torah, Ki'ilu Lomda Tiflus. Anyone who teaches their daughter Torah, it's like teaching them, let me get the article translation.
Physical intimacy.
What? No. Really?
I'm just reading what's here.
Okay. What does Corin say?
Promiscuity.
Promiscuity. Okay. Tiflus. That's an interesting translation. I think typically we darshan this word, it's being like nothingness.
That's what it says here. The root is meaningless or worthless.
Yeah, okay. So I guess in context, Rabbi Eliezer is teaching, is saying
idle
that teaching.
Nonsense.
Right. That's... Yeah,
the,
I mean, we know the words ikar v'tafel from brachos, right? There's the main, and then there's the secondary or less important thing. So here, that's typically how people understand it in a general sense. I guess in context, maybe it's referring to the sosa that she's teaching her Torah, and therefore, through the Torah, she'll understand how to be discreet or scheming about doing what she wants to do. What did you want to say, David?
Yeah.
Well, keep going. Let's see what the Gemara tells us about it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Rotsa Isha Bekav V'Tiflus. If the woman wants.
This is a nasty comment about women in general, I think.
If a Rotsa Isha Bekav.
A woman wants.
A Rotsa Isha. Women want a Kav of Mizonos, of sustenance. V'Tiflus. Yeah. And they want promiscuity. Mitisha kav and nepricious. Oh, they'd rather a little bit of food on the table and intimacy with their husband as opposed to a lot of food on the table and no intimacy with their husband. Is that what it's saying?
Yes.
Basically. I mean, Tisha Kavan is 9. I don't know why 9 specifically, but okay. Maybe 10. She would want that more. I don't know. Whatever that means. Hu haya omer. Who is referring to what, Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yeshua?
Yeah.
Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chasid Shote, a pious fool, meaning he's, you know, he's so pious that he's going to cause some problems. The classic example, I don't know if this is in the Gemara, but the classic example of this is somebody who's, you know, so pious that he lets a woman drown because he doesn't want to look at a woman, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Verasha Arum, and a wicked person who is scheming?
Cunning.
Cunning, right. Okay. Veisha Prusha, and a woman who is
abstinent.
Not intimate with her husband or generally?
This is abstinent here.
Doesn't say what the context is, but okay, Umakos Prushin.
The Mishnah refers critically to women who are willing to accept a life of abstinence, yet at the same time it declares that an abstinent woman, as well as those who injure themselves out of false abstinence, are among those who erode the world.
Okay, so Makos Rishon is someone who tortures himself by not engaging the world. Hare Elu Mevale Ha'olam, they are from those who destroy the world. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Right, it's false piety, destructive false piety. Certainly a lot of this, but the question is how to apply it. Says the Gemara, it's like a very, you can see this, like a very heavy Mishnah. A lot to look into here. But let's see the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, I'm Mishim Rabbi Meir. She used to learn me Torah, Eitzah Rabbi Akiva. When I was learning by Rabbi Akiva, he used to kan kanton toch hadio. I would put the gum, what's it called?
Copper sulfate.
Oh, the copper sulfate, okay. Into the ink. V'lo amar li davar. And he never said anything to me, which implies that Rabbi Akiva was okay with it. Shavasi Eitzah Rabbi Yishmael, amar li b'ni, ma'amalachtacha, what do you do? Amar tzilo, lavlar ani. So Rabbi Yehuda, wait a second. He's saying something from Rabbi Meir. I guess Rabbi Meir is the one that did this? Yeah, Rabbi Meir learned by Rabbi Akiva, right?
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
So Rabbi, when he was writing at Torah school.
Right. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying from Shmuel, who's saying from Rabbi Meir, that this story happened. So Rabbi Meir used to put things together, and he says to Rabbi Shmuel, I'm the sofer. Amar li, b'ni havi zayir, shemalach chamalach shemaim. He makes sure that everything you do is for the sake of heaven. Lest you miss out one letter, or you add one letter, and then nimseisa atam machriv kolom kulo, and by doing so you will destroy the entire world. Amarti lo davar echad yeshli shani maslo tochad yavakan kantam shmo. I put this kantam, this copper sulfate into the ink. Amar li v'chi mitzilin kantam tochad yod. Is that what you do? Hatar amra umacha. And it should erase, meaning the sota parchment, the ink of the sota parchment. Ksav shiuchel limachos, which is this. I feel like this should have been in the last mishnah.
I was about to ask that. Like, why are we learning this?
This is a law of Sifrei Torah. This is a law of Sifrei Torah. Rabbi Meir.
But the last mishnah talks about the ingredients.
Yeah. Why are we talking?
This is going to tell you a rule for Sifrei Torah,
right,
that the ink that you write Sifrei Torah has to be destructible.
Right. We
but,
talked about
but
that
we
in the last
about
mishnah.
We talked about that previously. So we why did? Yeah. So why isn't this?
We're talking about ink and Sifrei Torah.
Not Sifrei Torah, but the
I understand. So we're learning.
Right, but this mission wasn't talking about Sifrei Torah.
This Gemara right here is talking about Sifrei
no,
Torah.
Well, it's using Sosa as a proof text for Sifrei Torah.
Right.
And this mission didn't talk about Sifrei Torah or the ink.
So,
the last mission at least talked about.
Since when does the Gemara have to say have to have anything to do with the mission?
Right. No. The Gemara usually does have a lot to do with the mission. At least at the beginning of it. So, maybe in the middle we'll get on tangent.
And your point would be much better taken if there hadn't been a previous Mishnah that was so on point.
This would have been much more on point.
They could have moved this.
Yes, who knows? Who knows? Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
Yeah. All right. So my kamar lay, my kamar hadirlay. Right. What's going on here? Rabbi Yishmael is asking him about his job, then tells him about being, you know, a trusted steward of writing every single letter properly and not missing or adding. And then, all of a sudden, Rabbi Meir said something about making the ink. So what does one thing have to do with the other? So my kamerlei, my kamer hadalei. What was the back and forth there? Hach kamerlei, lami bai bachas debaki ani. Oh, no. Says Rabbi Meir, okay, fine, you can trust me with the letters. I'm good with not adding or missing any letters. Ela afilu lemechash lezuz, the dilma asviyas vatagi didalus, umachitlei, I'm so careful that even if it were the case that some kind of bug, is that what it means, would fall on the top of the dalet, and then would erase it and make it into a resh,
which would be a critical error.
Even that I'm careful about. Right? Even that you don't have to worry about. But one thing maybe you do have to worry about is this. And that's his davar achayesh l'shani matzil tochad yavakan kantam shmo.
No, and that's just so you know the context that our Shmuel puts in here is he does this
for Shema Yisrael.
No. He puts this the kan kantomen.
Yeah.
To avoid that happening, the fly.
Oh, really?
It sounds like he's defending himself, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you're right. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
The accomplishment is that
even if the ink is rubbed out, some impression.
I mean, it was relevant. It was relevant to what he said before. I wasn't just like, oh, but I do have this other thing. It was, you know, you don't have to worry about that because I use Kankan, so am I ink.
Mm-hmm. So there's at least some impression.
Right. So that even if the fly would come and potentially ruin it, rest assured that it would stay there because I use Kankan Tom. But then he says, no, you can't use that. So, Ini, is that true? Is that what Rabbi Meir Savatan does the Bryce to say? I'm Rabbi Meir Shis Lamentara Tzal Rabbi Shmuel. Right, before it was Rabbi Kiva, now it's Rabbi Shmuel. He's made the Kankan Tom of the Yavla Amar Li Dabar. That's exactly what happened according to the Mishnah, according to the first part of the Gemara with Rabbi Kiva. Look, Shabbat says to Rabbi Kiva, Astralai. Then Rabbi Kiva is the one that said not to do it. Kasha Shimush Hashimush, right? Who did he really work for? And in Kasha Asara Asara. And then who's the one who really said you can't do it anymore? So Bishlam Shimush Hashimush Lakash Mekar Asul Kamid Rabbi Kiva, Kevindul Masikam Alibay, Asul Kamid Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, in terms of who he worked for, who he was working with, so then that's not such a problem. Originally, he was working with Rabbi Akiva. Right there, he was learning by Rabbi Akiva. And then, for some reason, it didn't work for him, for Rabbi Akiva. He couldn't fully understand everything Rabbi Akiva would say. Or he was particularly... it says here, maybe he was like Machmir, I don't know. But Rabbi Meir couldn't connect to it. And therefore, he decided to go to Rabbi Yishmael. V'gamar Gemara. And then he learned by Rabbi Yishmael and learned from him a lot of other Mishnayos without all the in-depth, complicated analysis like Rabbi Akiva did. And then after that, Hadar Asar Rabbi Akiva, Savar Svar. Then once he got all of the basics or all of the understanding, established in his mind, so then he went back to Rabbi Akiva to understand things more deeply. Ella, and that's why, I don't know when we're claiming the story happened, but point is that he was by Rabbi Akiva and by Rabbi Shmuel. Ella, Asara, Kasha. But in terms of who said he shouldn't do it, so that's actually a problem, because either Rabbi Akiva says he can't do it or Rabbi Shmuel says he can't do it, but you can't say both of them were okay and both of them were not okay with it. So in the end, we just don't know. Tanya, Rabbi Huda, Omer, Aya, Rabbi Meir, Lakol, Metilin, Gan, Kazot, Zachdiyo. For all things, you can put the copper sulfate into the ink. Except for the sota, which has to be erasable. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmo, Chus Mishmo Shel Mikdash. Oh, so the first line, Rabbi Meir meant that literally the words of sota in the Sefer Torah you don't write with Kan Kan Ton. That's an interesting Havamina. Why would that be so important? And we had talked about what words were included.
Why is that necessary?
Yeah, you're not erasing it. Unless we make some kind of interesting drasha that whenever you write these words, they always have to be erasable, even if they're not going to be ever erased.
Or so this way, you know, I mean, if a sofer is writing both a Torah scroll and a sota scroll, we don't want him to get into the habit of using Kankan Tom.
Maybe. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But okay, so the Rabbi Yaakov's statement, I guess we understand. He says this, by the way, also from Rabbi Meir. So this is really a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Meir included the sota words in the Torah itself, and Rabbi Yaakov says, no, Rabbi Meir only meant that the actual sota that you use in the Beis Hamikdash, those words you have to write without Kankan Tom. So my bina, I'm Rabbi Yirma, Limchok, Ula, Minatar, Ikubanayu. The machlokas is whether or not, oh, interesting. So the Havamina here, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yirmiya thinks you could technically use the Sefer Torah itself for the Sota. But how is that possible? We said it has to be Lishma.
Yeah.
When you're destroying the Torah. Let's say the Torah, whatever, something happens to the Torah, you can't use it anyway. So now, can you cut out that part of the Torah?
Right. The bigger question is,
you didn't do this for the sota. We talked about a couple of Mishnahs ago that when you write a sota, Megillah, it has to only be after the woman swore, and it has to be done for that woman herself. So, I mean, unless we're now claiming that a person wrote an entire Sefer Torah with her in mind, we're going to talk about it? A little bit? All right, let's see if this helps.
It seems like, yeah.
Vahani Tanai, this machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, Kihani Tanai, it's like the following. The Tanai of the Rebbe says, Ein Megillas Kshel Ashkes Basot Acharas. You can't use, okay, now we're coming back to the Mishnah, you can't use one sota scroll for another sota. Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia Omer Megillas Kshel Ashkes Basot Acharas. Oh, we could have used this last week. That you could use one scroll for another sota. And it doesn't have to be a lishma. Why didn't we talk about this last week when we talked about writing multiple megillas? Okay, so here also, this is the machlokas of whether or not you can use the part of the Torah. So Amar of Papa Dilmalohi, maybe it's not true. Ad kan lo kamar tana kam b'hasam el kevin de itzkiz de insik l'shem Rachel lo hadra minaska l'shem Lea. Then when you're writing it for Rachel, what does this mean?
It's just, I think, using those names.
When the word like meinaska means like exclusivize or include, right? When he made it for Rachel,
because it can't be withdrawn to be used for the purposes of Leah.
Right? Once it's designated for Rachel, it can't be undesignated for the sake of Leah. Aval, Torah, when it comes to, oh, interesting. I like that. Meaning, when did we say you can't use multiple parchments for multiple sotas? When you're writing them for specific women. When Rachel comes in front of us and says, okay, we need a sota, a Megillah sota for you. So we write it for her. And when we write it for her, we can't use it for somebody else. But a Sefer Torah is never written for any specific woman. So now it's just sitting there undesignated. So if it's an undesignated, it's sort of like it's a free agent, so Megillah Sota. It's just like whoever wants to contact.
So then doesn't that...
It's not that it needs Lishma, it's that it...
So but doesn't that come as a proof that you could forms?
Right, exactly. It could. I would think that. The only problem, this does fly in the face of something we said last week, which is that you can't write the Megillah until the woman already swore she didn't do it.
Right.
So unless these women are all swearing they didn't do it, and then we're writing all of them together, so then the swearing doesn't make sense. But let's assume that could happen. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Bar Yochai Dilma Lohi, maybe that's also not true. Akan lo kam Rabbi Acha Bar Yoshia Hasam Ela Mi Megillah the Ichtu L'shem Alos Ba'olam. Aval Torah De Lehis Lamei Ksiva. Maybe when it comes to the Megillah Sota that was written for a specific woman, it could be used for somebody else when it was written for the proper curses of the Sota. Meaning it has, you know, the purposes of a Sota in mind when the person wrote it. But the Torah, which was generally written for the sake of learning, so then it wasn't infused with the curses of sota, with the proper intentions of the curses being for a specific sota, and therefore you can't, right? So you can sort of, interestingly enough, twist Rabbi Acham Yoshi's opinion in either direction. But the point is that it doesn't necessarily mean that you could use the sota from the Sefer Torah. Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia leis leksav lagaris ishto v'nimlach l'mitzo ben iro v'yomer lo shmi kishimcha v'shem yishik shem yishtecha pas lagaris bo. Does Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia not hold of the concept that just because the words are the same, you can't use it for a different person? Right? In the case of a person who's divorcing his wife and happens to have the same name, and his wife happens to have the same name of somebody else who decided not to get divorced but wrote the whole thing up already and doesn't want to pay a sofer to write it up again, So is it not the, does he not hold that that would be possible to reuse that get because it wasn't written lishma for the right people? So the Gemara says, right, regardless of which opinion, which interpretation you hold, like, clearly there is an instance where he could use the Megillah Sota for somebody else. So Amri, they say,
we still haven't gotten to the topic of the Mishnah.
Yeah. Hasab because of La. The Pasuk in the Pasuk by the get says, because of La, that the words should be written for her, Amr Rahmana. Ve'in ksiv lishma, hacha ve'asa la, it should be made. Ma asiya, what does it mean to be made? Mechika, it should be made erasable. The point is that it should be made, the process should be done for her, but it doesn't mean that the words have to be literally written for her, at least according to Rav Achai Bar Yoshia. So the Mishnah had said, in a maspeka fishos tachpenemarikos, that she didn't drink the whole thing until her face turned green. Samani, who's that going according to? Rabbi Shimon, he. It must be according to Rabbi Shimon. Amar makrives mincha saviachar kach mashka. You bring the mincha and then you make her drink. The comments will cover mincha salabatski maya. Dechsiv mincha zikarim askar tavon, because until the mincha was brought, it's not going to actually make her blow up at all. Interesting. So according to the other opinion, she drinks, then we bring the mincha, and then we wait to see if the water has an effect on her. According to Rabbi Shimon, it'll happen right away.
This is clearly one or the other. So it seems, at least by this time, nobody had seen it. It's clear nobody had seen it. And, I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, by the time they're arguing about it. Yeah.
And I mean, yeah. This is clearly one or the other.
We did have that anecdote a couple of days ago, which said that there was a tradition of something happened. It was machlokes is what exactly happened, but the point is that it had happened, but they didn't see it.
Well, it could be that they'd seen it and everyone was innocent or something. They'd never seen it.
Oh, that's true. Okay. I guess that could be. So Amos Deva, Yeshla Zchut Haitza Tolala, the end of the Mishnah says, if there's some kind of merit, so then it would work for her and it would sort of delay it. She wouldn't die right away. So then Asan the Rabbanan. This goes back to what we said earlier. So then it must be according to the Rabbanan to Rabbi Shimon Ha'amar Yitzchus Tov B'mayim Mamarim. So the end of the Mishnah must be going according to the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Shimon, the same Rabbi Shimon who says that the water could make her explode before she drinks the whole thing, because she already had the mincha brought. So then that same Rabbi Shimon also holds, and we saw this, I think, earlier in the Masechta, that Rabbi Shimon holds, yeah, we did it in the Daf Vav, it's going to come up in a couple of days also. Rabbi Shimon holds that there is no such thing as merit delaying her punishment. It's either going to happen right away or it's not going to happen. So then we have clearly an inconsistency in our Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, and the end of the Mishnah is the Rabbanan. So Amar Chista, Hamani Rabbi Akiva, he is really Rabbi Akiva, to Amar, Makar is the Mishnah of Yachkar Mashi. Rabbi Akiva also says, like Rabbi Shimon a couple of days ago, or yesterday, that you bring the mincha and then make her drink. Uvizchus. And when it comes to schus, several other Rabbanan, Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon, and as Rabbi Akiva holds the same thing as Rabbi Shimon, in terms of the mincha being brought first, but he holds like the Rabbanan in terms of the schus working. Okay. Vehem omrim hotziyua. And then they see her, she's about to explode. They tell her, get her out of here before she makes this whole place coming. So my time, what's the reason why they have to take her out? To Dilma Mesa, because Mesa's going to die. But if that's the case, Lemaimra, to Mesa, Asr, Machan, Levia, is that true? That there can't be any deceased in the Levite camp, meaning on Harabias, Fatan, it doesn't embrace to say, Tama Mesa, which look at Machan, Levia, says he could bring it in. It's not just tummy mace. Ela afilu mace atzmo. Not just someone who's tummy mace, but someone who is the mace itself. We learned from when Moshe Rabbeinu takes the bones of Yosef that he must have gone with them into the innermost camp. So Amar Abaye, Shema Tifros Nida. Yeah, death is fine, but if she has her period, we're going to have problems.
Science is dubious, but...
Apparently, and I think this is a thing, you could have an early period if something sort of extraordinary, good timing, extraordinarily happens, right? I don't know.
So what if she's menopausal?
Okay, so that wouldn't happen.
Right.
Right. So then, oh, so you're saying we shouldn't be worried.
We shouldn't be worried. Then.
Everyone should everybody be now. If she starts to explode, don't worry about it. She had menopause. Right? Says the Gemara Lameimra to be Yususa Marpia. Is that really true? That just fear alone will cause that to happen? Right? Aaron was, you know, channeling his inner Gemara there. So in right. Says Gemara, yeah. In Says Gemara, yes, it can happen. Just see if it's because it's said by Esther. Vatishchal chal hamal kama'od.
Says the superfluous double form of the verb prompts the Gemara.
Interesting.
To interpret it as a reference right. To Kalulim.
Right. She was worried about, I think this is when she heard Mordechai had, was like wearing sackcloth maybe, and she got all worried about
yeah.
It.
Yeah, she heard the Mordechai, yeah.
Yeah.
Right effective, yeah.
So then it says, it doesn't just mean she got worried, it means, V'amarav, Sheper Sanir Shvikim Nida. It says, wait a second. V'ha'anan Tanan, but didn't we learn in a Mishnah in Nida, Charada Misalekas Damin, that fear actually sort of takes away the menstrual cycle? Even if it's time, it, you know, if she's in fear, it'll hold it back. So it says the Gemara is different. There are different types of fear. Tachta, if it's a sudden fear, no, sorry, if it's a general constant fear, so then tamis. So that is going to delay or remove the blood. But biasusa, if it's a sudden fear, unexpectedly, so then marpia, that does, marpia I think means like to loosen, it causes it to come out. Okay. That's what they're worried about, Dam Nida in the Beis HaMikdash. Yesh l'schus, if she has some kind of merit, so then
so it works to delay. The problem.
Corpse, no problem. Menstrual blood, yes, a problem.
Okay,
one has a pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu that allows it. Now, I don't think we're talking about the ramifications of the tumah. We're talking about what kind of tumah is allowed to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. What kind of tumah is allowed in the Beis HaMikdash? So that's meaning even if a tumah mace is there, we still have tumah mace problems. But the question is whether or not they're allowed to do it. I think it's come up a little bit in last week's parsha also, halachic discussions about Nadav and Aviyah, what they do afterwards to mitahir the Beis HaMikdash. But I didn't look into it. So many Matnis, who's the author of our Mishnah? We already talked about this, Rabbi Shimon, then we said it was Rabbi Kiva. Lo Avi Yosef ben Chanan, v'lo Rabbi Eleazar ben Yitzchak ish Kfar Daram, v'lo Rabbi Yishmael. It can't be any of those three. Why? The Tanakh, as the Brisa tells us, Im yesh lo schus, if she has some kind of merit, tolo la shlosh chadashim kdei akar tayu ha'ubar, at least 3 months, the amount that it takes to recognize, I guess, a fetus. Divrei, is it meaning that she's pregnant?
Yeah.
I think she can tell that she's pregnant. Divrei Abba Yossi ben Hanan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yitzchak Ish Kfar Daram Omer, Tisha Chadashim, 9 months it could be delayed. Shnevar, Nixem, Nisra, Zara. It's a pasuk in, I don't know where that pasuk is, Talim. Ulahalan hu Omer, Zara Yavdenu Yusupar, Zara Harayelus Haper, meaning the amount of time it takes for, I guess, the sperm to count or to talk about, right? It's, I guess sort of like the praise of Hashem, and that comes after 9 months when the child is born. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Shneimas Harchodesh. Rabbi Yishmael says a year va'achal pish en ra'el davar ve'echad davar dechsev lahen malka malki yishpar alayich v'chat ha'ach v'tzaka furuk v'av yasach v'michan anian. Hein tevei archa lishel vasach, lishleiv vasach. Uchsiv, kola meta al nebuchadnezzar malka uchsiv likten yarchin treasar. All right, I'm not really going to try to interpret what that means, but so I said there's a few pesukim in Daniel that Rabbi Yishmael believes teaches you that it's 12 months, and that's not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says it could either be a year, 2 years, or 3 years, and here we have 3 months, 9 months, or 1 year.
This whole thing is an interesting concept. We're told that if she's innocent, I think we're told in the psukim that if she's innocent, she'll conceive and have a child. This suggests that if she's guilty,